You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I remember walking around the court square sidewalks.
11 minutes after 9 o'clock here on a Friday. We're going to get a construction update by Mr. Construction himself, Michael Musselman. So we appreciate you taking time out of your busy construction schedule to join us.
Yeah, I don't like the word construction. I'm an artist, Mac. This is art.
It's not. This is okay. I was dignifying you by saying construct. Well, it would be construction. It would be woodworking. Our master.
I still think it's. I mean, what I'm doing is artwork.
It really isn't. Hopefully, it turns out all right. But
turns out all right. I've already got orders from the neighbors.
You know what? That's how people start, like little businesses, right?
Yeah, this kind of business,
you can take it.
I would farm it out in a heartbeat.
Really?
Subcontract it out.
Why? You can take the mental. You can take the mental anguish that goes with it.
I'm creative. I can do the creative part of the business.
Oh.
Like, give you the ideas. I'm the idea guy.
Yeah, but don't you like the hands-on and making it, too, and then seeing the whole thing?
But I don't. Yeah, I do. I really like the hands-on, but I don't know. I think I took a big bite out of this elephant. I mean, I'm going to chew it.
What?
But I'm just like, as I get started, because, you know, the fence comes in today. So that's the part I've been waiting for.
The fence for the saw.
Table saw.
Right.
Yeah. The fence I had was kind of jokey,
not a precision event.
No, not what I require.
Right. This cannot be screwed up.
And you know what's sad? I had to get this fence from Canada. What? Canada? But they got a lot of wood up there.
So what did it offer that you could only find in Canada, eh?
Well, the T-track slots for the fence, and then the actual construction and the ease of use. That's what I was looking for. Now, I could have went all out and bought like a $600 Ingra fence, not a table saw, but just the fence, $600. But I'm not, and theirs measures like 1/10,000th of an inch. That's crazy.
Yeah, you better be cutting things for nuclear weapons if you're going to buy that one.
Yeah. Or, yeah, better be in business.
Yeah. Why are you spending so much time? Hello, this thing's going to go boom like you don't even know about.
Yeah. So, no, that's why, and then doing all my research, the ones that were probably the best suited for what I wanted to do, what I needed, rigidity, reliability, repeatability, was the guy from Canada. There are a lot of woodworkers up there, man.
That's depressing.
Yeah, it is kind of depressing that American ingenuity can't figure this one out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. We were talking about lasagna a little bit about last hour, and
I make a mean lasagna.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you because you're a foodie. I don't know, it's probably a couple of years ago, probably a few years ago, but for the first time in my life, I had like an old Italian lady make lasagna. And, you know, most of my life I've had lasagna, and it's been a relatively heavy dish, right? She made it, right? And because she like handmade the pasta that went into the lasagna, it was very light and thin. Oh my God, it was like, is this really lasagna? Like, yes. And so then I was talking to the chef, and he was saying, well, you know, he said, the Italians, when I was in Italy, he said, you know, the way you would do it, the lasagna itself is a base dish. And then, you know, you would have sausage, you would have meatballs, you would have marinara sauce, You know, but you know, in a big family, you know, people like it different. And so the lasagna itself would be the base dish. And he said, that's how I've seen it presented. So I was going to ask you, how
it
do you...
It depends on where you go in Italy, because right. I agree with him. Except for, like, so the crazy thing about Italy, and this is what drives me crazy about people that Italian food or French food or all food in general. So it's kind of like America. So let me explain something. So you go to Italy, and you go to Rome, and you have a pizza. And it's kind of like a margherita pizza. It's really light, not a lot of fixings on it. And it's kind of a side dish. It's more like an appetizer, you know? It's not a main meal.
It's funny to hear Americans go to Italy and order pizza and say, what is this?
Yeah, they literally are like, what's going on? This is crazy. But, okay, so here's what happens. So then that person comes back, and they're like, dude, I went to Italy, and this is how they have pizza in Italy. I'm like, no. So it's depending on the region that you go is the experience that you come back with. And not all Italians eat lasagna like that. I've had lasagna in the northern parts of Italy where it is the main dish. I mean, that thing was so heavy, it was like a brick. And everything was around it was to complement that piece, that dish. And I've had it as, like you said, a side dish. Like you would pass a roll. Oh, I'll take some lasagna. And you just scoop it out. And all I had was ricotta, some marinara, and some pasta in it. No meats, no nothing. So I guess it's where the region you come from. Because it would be like, you know, hey, not all hamburgers are the same in the United States. You go up there to California, well, you get a freaking avocado, pineapple.
Barbecue, you know? Or barbecue around the country, right? Vastly different.
Yeah, barbecue's completely different. Chicken wings, huge, right?
Right.
You come down here and you get breaded chicken wings. People are like, what?
Right.
Breaded chicken wings, are you crazy?
Right.
You know, you go up north, breaded chicken wings are, you know, that's the thing.
Right. Right.
So it's really kind of
right.
where yeah. you're from, what influences you've had. You know, that type of thing. I've used prosciutto in my lasagna. I've used just marinara sauce. I've used seafood. I made a seafood lasagna. Mm-hmm. Chicken spinach lasagna. Yeah. A vegetarian lasagna with squash and zucchini. It was really good.
The chef told me that's what he makes as his base is a vegetarian lasagna, and then he prefers to serve it with... You know, he said, and when I say meatballs, he said, I don't mean those little tiny hors d'oeuvre-ass meatballs. He said,
no.
When you get a meatball, it's like it's going to be a baseball or softball that you're going to get.
Yeah.
It's going to be a steak in the form of a meatball.
Right.
And he said, but my favorite is Italian sausage because the Italians do sausage like nobody. He said,
really different.
Yeah, he said, so you have the vegetarian pasta with sausage and marinara sauce. He said, I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
Talking about it, I gotta make some.
Real Italian sausage and peppers?
Freaking
to die for. Like, you know, it's a dish, peppers and sausage.
Yeah, as an American, you hear that, you're like, what? So where were you?
Yeah.
Your grandmother was, Hispanic, yes?
Spain, yep.
Spain.
Hispaniola.
So did she introduce you to Italian food? Where did you get your Italian food education?
My Italian food, well, this is kind of weird. So my Italian food part comes from my dad's side of the family, believe it or not, but they're German. So they're all from, like, Galena, Illinois. And so Galena, Illinois is a small little town on the, I think, the western side of Illinois. Illinois kind of drops down, looks like a hand altogether.
Right.
So it's on the eastern side, middle of the state. And
on the eastern side, like on the Indiana border?
No, I'm sorry, the western side.
Western side.
All right. So a lot of the family, for some reason, are Italian, too. They crossbred. So they're German-Italians. So when they get married, when they were getting married, some of the family on that side, we'd go to, like, areas outside Chicago, and because that's where the family lives now. A lot of the families, you know, like, we're talking second cousins, you know. that's where they all live out there, and Elk Grove Village, you know, in that area, a lot of Italians. So when they have weddings, huge Italian weddings. So that was when I got my first, when I was a kid, like, holy crap, what is it that I'm eating? I love this food. Because we go to Italian restaurants, and they're never this, you know, like that. You got to go to, like, some of the best Italian restaurants outside of Italy are, and outside of Europe, because I tell people, you want to eat really good food, go to London. Dude, best Indian food I've ever had is in London. Best, you know, Italian food I've ever had was in London. I mean, everything I've ever experienced, like really good Japanese food, sushi, London. London is like, it's like a melting pot. So, but outside of that, very few places. New York, great Italian district. Boston, phenomenal Italian district. You know, you go in there and it feels like you're in Italy. Everybody's speaking Italian. They're yelling at each other. You know, the smell of tomatoes and desserts and sausages. I mean, just that smell. And let's see, where else? Another Italian. That's kind of – or Chicago. Shit, I can't forget Chicago. Chicago is huge on the Italian district. Man, and there and Chicago, when if you talk about Irish food, them in Boston, like shepherd's pie, my two favorite places to eat shepherd's pie.
Don't even go there. It sucks. Nobody says that. Let's go eat. Hey, let's go eat Irish tonight. Nobody says that.
Because there's not a lot of good Irish places to eat.
Thank you.
Because usually you're drunk and you're eating fish and chips.
Because there's not a lot of good Irish food.
Drinking harps or Guinness.
Right, so.
Yeah. Speaking of Irish, everybody's going to be Irish here in a few days.
Yeah, good luck to you guys. Go be Irish.
St. Pat's, when everybody's Irish.
Oh, my God.
Everybody starts wearing green.
Well, you don't do that. You don't go out on the town and with your green, wearing the green and yell, Aaron Gobra, whatever the hell that means. You don't do that. You're not one of those guys.
No, I'm not Irish.
I'm not Irish. I'm Native American.
Now, knowing that the Irish were sympathetic towards Hitler,
and the Kennedys were too.
Kennedys were. Joe Kennedy was pro-Hitler.
He was
pro-Nazi.
Like,
they hushed that up, though, when old JFK wanted to run for office.
Yeah. What? Who? Your father? Hello, that guy? Oh, the
Joseph
guy?
Kennedy?
Yeah,
that
the
would
guy.
Be your
who,
father?
Yeah. The bootlegger? Who? My father? The businessman?
Yeah, the guy how he made his real money bootlegging. Yeah.
That guy. Oh, the dad.
They're so
yes.
American Camelot. Yeah, true.
Exactly.
They get their money from being crooks.
American shit show. We're crooks and we supported Hitler. No wonder they call it Camelot.
Yeah, fairy land, fairy tale land.
Exactly. It is the land of fairy tales. How you convert that to this. Interesting. Interesting. The greatest legacy of the Kennedys is Special Olympics. I won't even leave you hanging out there. Yeah. Eunice Kennedy Shriver, the greatest legacy of the Kennedy, of the whole Kennedy
thing. The only good thing,
The Peace Corps.
She's not a Kennedy, is she?
Yeah, she's a Kennedy.
She married
Sergeant Shriver. She married Sergeant Shriver. But, in fact, I'll link this to Martin Luther King. He's running for president, and Sergeant Shriver is his civil rights is in his during the campaign is one of his issues. But they don't give a shit about civil rights, right? Just make sure we know enough just to to push it to the side and talk about it intelligently if somebody brings it up. And so Bobby Kennedy's like, look, civil rights is a loser, right? I know, but there's crazy stuff going on. It doesn't matter. Right? We're Democrats, right? Democrat is the party of Jim Crow in the South. We're only going to lose votes. So stay away from it. Got it. So Bobby Kennedy believes, and Sergeant Shriver, Eunice Shriver's husband, goes in and says, hey, would you be willing to talk to Martin Luther King's wife? You know, he's in jail in Georgia, and she's really worried about him. And he said, well, do you think it would be a good thing? And he said, yeah, knowing that the little kook was gone, right, Bobby Kennedy.
Right,
so,
yeah, Bobby's gone.
Right, he gets her on the phone, and John Kennedy comes in, and he doesn't promise anything. He just talks to her. That went through every black church in the form of they sent out little mimeograph things, and he was the first president ever to even reach out like that. And that election was so close, many people would tell you that little footnote is what got John Kennedy elected. Bobby Kennedy came back, found out he did it, and went ballistic. What are you doing? I mean, like, so anyway, it was a very interesting, very, very interesting little piece of history there. What is your favorite? What is your favorite form, Italian food?
My favorite Italian food.
If you could order any
Italian beef sandwiches.
Italian beef sandwiches.
That's not Italian food though.
What is?
But that's like my favorite. Like in Chicago, you know the Italian beef.
Oh, no.
God, I could eat that.
What is so Never. Italian beef? What the hell is that?
It's the way they slice it and they make it. Italian beef sandwiches.
So what is it? What kind of beef is it? Okay, it's roast beef, and then so the way they marinate it.
Yeah, so like the roasted, so they put the peppers on it. There's a famous restaurant in Italy that does this stuff, like almost like a fast food, but they're not.
Oh, that was going to be ugly. Fast food that tastes this good?
It's not really. You go in, you order your sandwich, and you get out. I mean, it's they make it right there in front of you. But it's the Italian beef sandwiches is kind of what they're. And if you ever go to Chicago, you've never been to Chicago?
No, never for any period of time. Never been there. I've been through there. Never spent any period of time in Chicago. Don't know anybody who lives there. My dad, huge fan of his favorite venue to play in the National League was Wrigley Field in Chicago. And the reason the baseball players loved going to play the Cubs was they didn't have any lights. So they would, you know, it was like a day job. They went, the game started at 1 in the afternoon. You were done by 4, right? And you could go run the streets of Chicago every night. And Chicago Rush Street and the restaurants and the food. My dad loved Chicago. High quality of life there.
Yeah, I mean it's a nice place. There's a lot of neat
And they dump green dye in the river on St. Patty's Day.
On St. Pat's.
No, but see, I'm not Irish. I'm not. I'm American. I don't. I've stopped in Ireland twice. I don't know anything. I mean, I know very little about Ireland. I'm Native American. I was born here. This is my home. This is where I raised. And so my buddies, like Duffy White, oh, Mac, we're going to the Blarney Stone. I'm like, good luck, Duff. Call me on the 4th of July, bud. With a name like Michael Francis McNamara? That's right. That's 100% American, bro.
But your roots are, your ancestors hail from what area? Scotland.
County,
not the Mac.
County, they hail from the western side of Ireland. County Mayo and County Cork or Clare, one of the two. I have to look it up. Yeah. Yep. That's where they hail from.
So they hail from the green emeralds. But I understand. Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm American.
Yeah. I'm not.
I was born here. My parents were born here. My ancestors came from, part of them we're the original, Americans.
Oh, that's right.
We're
you and your 18,
gangsta.
18%.
Don't keep, it's 23.7%.
I'll have to see that. I'll have to see it before I stop lowering the percentage. You and your 6%. Right. You and your 6%. The pretty soon you're going to be down there with Pocahontas. Did you see Pocahontas said that she has no
I think I'm related to
her. She said that she has no sympathy for these parents in this college cheating scandal.
Who, Pocahontas?
Yeah. She has no sympathy for...
Pocahontas?
Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, Pocahontas. Oh, okay. Pocahontas.
I'm surprised that you would claim to being related to Elizabeth Warren, but so be it. Far be it for me to judge you about that.
No. Not Elizabeth Warren. I thought you were talking about the real.
And here you just straight up admitted it. Whoa. But her people were up in Oklahoma, Elizabeth Warren. Yeah, but Elizabeth Warren said that. Elizabeth Warren said that she has no sympathy for.
Okay, you were right. I'm native. I'm 13.1%.
Thank you.
Native American.
Quit trying to overstate. All right.
That's still.
Quit trying to do that. That's okay. That's nothing.
Yeah.
You're not native. You're
not. I'm 79.4% European.
That's a lot European, man.
Yeah. And. Mostly Southern European. Well, they do it. So the majority of it is Spanish and British Irish.
Spanish and British Irish?
Spanish, Portuguese, and then Britain and Ireland is like the majority of my...
Don't say Britain.
And then Germany is like the third.
I knew it, man. I knew it. I always knew you had a little too much crowd in you.
Yeah, that's that expertise that perfection that's in me.
Yeah, that Mercedes-like quality in you. What about
if you could be fun to be around, but shitty to fucking maintain.
If you could be one nationality on a planet, what would you be?
I would be Inuit Eskimo.
Okay. I'd be Italian.
No, I'd be an Eskimo.
I've always wanted to be
That'd
Italian.
That'd be so nice to be up on the Arctic, Arctic. No one except my squaw. Just talk about how peaceful. I don't know if I could do this.
You would get bored.
Squaw, forget that. Yeah, I'd get bored of
her. You would get bored. You would need to have a town, kind of like you are, situated. Off on your own a little bit, but you could go get it when you needed it and then leave it alone. I think you're where you're supposed to be.
No, you don't know me then. I like to be... I would love... Like a deserted island?
No. You talk too much.
Shit, I could talk to... I'd be just like Tom Hanks. I'd find
Wilson?
Myself a freaking soccer ball or coconut.
No.
And I'd be off to the races. I'd have my own freaking group.
That is not you. So I'm sorry. You can
coconuts.
You could try to sell
soccer balls.
You could try to sell that. I ain't going for it. What about hold on. I had something I was going to ask you. We were going to do nationality. I forgot.
Hey, so did you see? I know you saw, but. This tragedy that happened in New Zealand.
Yeah, I did.
Thoughts? And now everybody, the Council on American Islamic Relations, they're all right now talking about, how they condemn this. I mean, it's like total, someone's got to do and jump in here. People are now... Well, wait a second. New Zealand has gun laws. Exactly, people.
Good point.
What does that do?
Yeah, I mean, look, we don't institutionalize crazy people anymore. If in the United States, if that crazy son of a bitch kid that went to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting off like red fireworks over his home. That get the police, the sheriff, and social workers posting crazy shit on social media, having calls made to the FBI. If we can't stop that guy, then we won't stop anybody. And it's just these, and then again, and we all know somebody's right to be free always trumps your right to be safe. You can't, no, you can't do that to him. That's not fair to him. He's got his rights. And then he goes in and he kills 49 people. I hate to throw rocks at law enforcement people, but that's a lot of people. Not everybody dies with one shot. You know, it's not, and that takes a while to do. And then he got to a second spot. So anyway, I don't understand that.
Well, New Zealand is not here. You know, this is a Christchurch,
right?
And or Wellington. Was it Wellington or Christchurch?
Christchurch. Yeah. No, you're right.
So, you know, they're not geared for this type of thing.
No, I've seen video. Cops with M4s, cops with radios. Everybody got a cell phone, right? I don't know how we get to 49 when we got that many people with rifles and cell phones. Somebody got to confront the son of a bitch. Again, I don't. Maybe they did. Maybe they did everything right. That's a big fucking number, though. All innocent people going to a place of worship. I hate this shit, man. It's like that bullshit in Pittsburgh. And now we're going to see, and I've just seen a few stories. I was staying away from this, just in case you can't tell. I've seen a few stories already saying that this guy's like an internet maniac, ranting and raving that he live streamed part of this on Facebook or some shit. So, at some point, we need to yoke up crazy people. They need to go back on an island. And, oh, that's so unfair. Yeah, but so his right to be free is fair to the 49 people that are dead?
Thank you. Finally.
Fuck.
Finally.
I'm so fucking sick of this shit.
Preach, brother, preach.
Oh, no, man. Mike, I mean, the girl in I've told the story, but the girl in North Dakota, the first time I ever dealt with this shit was a guy named Alfonso Rodriguez. He followed her out of her. She's a pretty girl working part time at Victoria's Secret at the mall in Grand Forks. She gets off work. She's walking out to her car, and then hold your tongue when I say this, and I'll let you speak at the end. She's on her cell phone, not paying attention. He grabs her, forces her in the car, duct tapes her mouth, rapes her, murders her, stuffs her under the ice of the Red Lake River that meets the Red River in Crookston, Minnesota, crosses state lines doing it, and kills her. This was the fifth violent offense. He never went to one offender treatment program, and when his time came up, he got out and he did it again every time until he murdered somebody. But his right to be free trumps your right to be safe. And
that's always what it is. The crazy people that defend the freedoms of the crazy, you know, it's they have more right to be crazy than you do to be free of craziness.
Right, to be safe. So she's dead because he, and every time, first it was like he punched out a woman and he went to jail. He gets out. Next time it was with a knife. Right? Next time he shot a gun at somebody and then he murdered her. And,
right.
And you look at it and you're like, are you shitting me? I mean, what if this was your baby? Right? I mean, it's just gross. And so now we're going to hear the tale of this crazy son of a bitch and all the shit that he did. But again, I go back to the thing in Florida. Man, that kid was screaming to have weapons taken away and all this other shit. And didn't happen. And all the kids at high school, we know who did it. Yeah, we know it, kid. He's been threatening to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So anyway, but make your point about situational awareness and being on cell phones and whatnot.
Well, it's going to require, and I hate to say it like this, but it requires everybody to solve this problem. You know, again, police aren't going to do it. Be situational aware. If they cannot do it, and they're not providing, you know, for what you want, then you want you got to do it yourself. You got to do it yourself. And how do you do that? You got to be situationally aware. Report something. If you see something, it's the whole, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, stop. It's a freaking duck. You don't need to keep going further. So people need to be more aware of the situations, be more involved, get involved.
But if you're a woman, right, you need to pay attention. If you're by yourself, especially if it's, whether day or night, you can't be on your cell phone and not paying attention because there's predators out there. Right, and what are the
odds? Happens all the time.
Right, what are the odds that it's going to be your daughter? Let me tell you what they found. So they started going back, and I want to say they followed his cell phone. Now they can go ahead and they can yoke you up, right? They can find the places that you were when you were there and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, and they have him outside of Target, and he's sitting on a bench tapping his toe, right? Like an animal, right? Like you see a tiger, waiting, or a lion in Africa waiting for their prey. And he would follow women down to their car. And you'd see him looking on the video. You'd see him looking left and right and around to see who was around. And if there was anybody around or if she looked around, he just either walked left or right or walked past her. And you look at that woman and saying, but for the grace of God, that would have been you. And you're watching this going, this son of a bitch, right? He's just looking to do this. And,
right.
But he's got, and again, he did not participate in any kind of offender treatment program. None of that shit. And so to me, look, if you're a predator, you go to jail for life until you prove to us that you can come live.
No, they still can't. You go with it for life.
No, we're good.
You can't. Change the spots on a lot. It's not going to happen, man. Predators are predators. The only way to stop a predator from being a predator is put them down. It's the only way. You can't coax them into it. Hey, come on, let's stop. Oh, okay. It's like the old fable or old story about the scorpion and the frog, right?
I don't know that.
Remember that?
No.
Yeah, you do.
I remember you telling it recently, but I can't remember.
The rain's really heavy. It's flooding. The scorpion is looking at the frog and saying, hey, I'm going to need your help. And the frog says, bullshit, you're going to kill me if I come near you. He goes, no, listen, I'll drown if I need your help. If I could just ride on your back, stay out of the water. He goes, no, I don't trust you. You're going to stab me, kill me. The scorpion says, why would I do that? That I would kill both of us then. That's insane. So the frog thinks about it, and he says, he's right. Why would he do that? So he lets him on his back. They're out there cruising around. Next thing he feels a sharp, stirring pain. He's like, you stabbed me. You doomed us both. And the scorpion says, well, I'm a scorpion. What do you expect? It's you can't take it out of them, man. It's just it's the way they are. It's the way they think. It's the way they drive. It always cracks me up. They're like, you watch him in court or you see things and you're like, oh, look, he's showing, he's upset. He's sympathetic.
Showing
he's showing
signs of remorse.
Remorse. No, he's upset because he got caught.
Right.
That's why he's crying, because he can't do it anymore. He can't fulfill his desire anymore. That's the only thing he's upset about.
Here's an email. Mac, it sounds to me like you don't think people can change.
No, they can't.
I would say in rare cases they do, but I would say most people are true to what they are. Right? And that's why to me the whole concept of what a tribe is significant in that you become like Mike and I are part of the same tribe, our values are alike, we believe in the same things. We'd risk our lives for the same thing. We'd give our lives for the same thing. And so it's a different the world that we've lived in, the things that move us are very different than the things that move other people. And so you see people that don't have any of those values, and you see the way they live their lives, and it's like, that person's going to change? How? Explain to me how. And I'd like to. It's a little engine that could bullshit. The little engine can't.
Well, then people will always come back to this. Yeah, but okay. You preach, though, that, you know, you've changed in the way you think about depression and everything else. And I say, okay, there's a difference now. We're talking about predatory behavior, criminalistic behavior. We're talking about psychological, you know, like the way I think. No, listen, and I explain this when I teach a class about this. Depression never goes away. It's always going to be there, right? Just like trauma never goes away. It's always going to be there. What we're teaching you is the learning to deal with it, how you deal with it. It never goes away. You'll live with it for the rest of your life. So it doesn't change. It doesn't go away. So, yes, maybe in some rare cases, predatory behavior can change if they recognize that they are that, and that every day they wake up, that they are prone to that. And so they have to work at how do I keep myself from falling in that type of behavior. So
are you trying to convince yourself that this can be true? Because to me, if you're a predator, how do you become...
No, I'm saying that in rare cases, it could work. But in most cases, no, they're going to fall to what they're comfortable with. And that's predatory behavior.
You know,
the majority, there's like a huge, it's not 51%, it's closer to like 70 or 80 people that are incarcerated, when they're released from incarceration, go back.
Right. It's called the rate of recidivism.
Yes.
However, so, what's that word?
What, recidivism?
I don't know that I can pronounce it correctly.
Say it real fast.
Recidivism? No. Recidivism. The tendency of a convicted criminal to reoffend. R-E-C-I-D-I-V-I-S-M. Recidivism. The rate that they reoffend. How about that? I could say that six times in a row. How about recidivism for violent offenders?
What's that number look like?
Recidivism rates for violent offenders. Within 3 years of release, about two-thirds of released prisoners are rearrested. Within 5 years of release, about three-quarters of released prisoners are rearrested.
75%.
5%. Oh, how about recidivism rates for violent offenders? So that's what I put in. I got
So if people make the argument that, okay, out of that 25% that don't, okay, so there's got to be, let's say 5% of the 25% that don't go back just never get caught again. So really 20%. You know, are actually out there trying to do better. And I'd say that, okay, so the plus and minus of that, let's just say half, so it's 10%. Or really, so we want to institute policies to save 10% and take the risk for these other 90.
Yes. That's a good deal.
Yeah,
that's
bullshit.
That's
bullshit.
That's
if it was the other way around, I'd say, yeah, absolutely.
No, let me tell you why it's not bullshit. Because, Mike, they're not going to come to my neighborhood. In my neighborhood, we have people that bribe admission officials so the kids can go to college. Nobody's going to come up here and bust a cap in anybody's ass, right? Nobody's raping nobody, right? Unless we do the raping, right? That's going to happen in somebody else's neighborhood. So fuck them, right? My high-minded way of living says that you can fucking eat it, okay? Because this is the way we should treat human beings. Everybody should get a chance. We can all do it. Well, statistics say that ain't right. So,
no, you're right.
Yeah, and so you see this kind of shit? And the same thing with people that are crazy, right? They have their rights. They can threaten people. They can say all this crazy shit. So, a vast new study of the rate that people reoffend, which is also known as recidivism, by the Federal Bureau of Justice. This is 2018 data, right? Finds an 83% recidivism rate. So your number is even smaller than you thought it was. In a 23-page...
And I was being generous.
A report by the Federal Bureau of Justice Statistics is the first to use a 9-year window to view criminal backsliding by a large sample of group prisoners released in 2005. Prior studies used 3 to 5 year follow-up periods. The authors of the 23-page report, 2018 update on prisoner recidivism, a 9-year follow-up period, 2005 to 2014, say the longer view shows a much fuller picture of offending patterns and criminal activity of released prisoners. It was written by the Bureau of Justice statisticians Marielle Alper and Matthew DeRose, and a former BJS statistician, blah, blah, blah. The data submitted by both law enforcement agencies and state departments of corrections, the researchers tracked the offending patterns of a random sample of 67,966 prisoners from among 400,000 prisoners released in 2005 in a total of 30 states. Their key findings. The 400,000 released prisoners racked up nearly 2 million arrests during the 9-year period, or about 5 arrests per man or woman. The 44% were arrested during their first year following the release, 68% were arrested within 3 years, 79% within 6, and 83% within 9. 77% of the released drug offenders were arrested for a non-drug crime within 9 years. Now, this is what we haven't been sold, which is, hey, the non-violent offenders, the people in there for dealing drugs, get them out of there, rehabilitate them, and they'll be fine. Okay, right. So 77% of the drug offenders were rearrested for a non-drug crime within 9 years. Okay, get that? Non-drug crime. Released property offenders were more likely to be arrested again than released violent offenders. How about that? 8% of prisoners arrested during the first year after release were arrested outside the state that released them. That number increased each year, apparently an indication of increasing interstate mobility. By year 9, 14% of those arrested were collared in another state.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah, that's...
That's stunning. That's worse than that's worse than we even thought, and we're jaded.
Yeah. That makes me sick.
I'll put the link to that report. And so and again, I, you know, this girl's name is Drew Shadeen. You can look, DRUSJODIN. And she went missing for, I want to say, the better part of 2, maybe 3 months before they found her body in the river. And, you know, and her family, her parents went through hell. And it's a 5-time offender, right? A 5-time. They're predators, and they get released to do it again. So to me, I don't know. And again, it would be appropriate. The people that make these laws, they should be released into your community. And then we'd see how sympathetic you'd fucking be.
Yeah.
Here's an email. Newsrip has a good write-up on the scumbag. In addition to being an Australian version of a white nationalist, apparently he also calls himself an eco-fascist. The usual suspects are in full bore circle jerk because he mentions Trump in terms of the nationalism, but they aren't mentioning the fact that he also disavowed Trump for his policies. His online footprint is full of Third Reich stuff. one crazy ass human. I've now seen via another source that armed worshippers stopped him in the second mosque. I'd be curious to see all that because, as Mike said, pretty strict gun laws in New Zealand. But I mean, they do hunt, right? But it's not like,
yeah, but they're really controlled. I mean, really controlled. Yep. And they claim to have the best background check of any country. And a lot of people, the crazies here, always cite New Zealand or Australia with background checks because they include the mental health. Well, everything has its flaws, people, because apparently this didn't work. And so they branded him as the right wing. But if you look at his, they said right wing guy because, you know, the news wants to paint this guy as, like I said, a Trump supporter, right? Pro-gun. But if you read this guy's, his background and what he does, he's a fucking liberal.
Well, you know what? I don't know that you can. First of all, he's a kook, okay?
Yeah.
So however you want his latest, like, so he's quoting the Third Reich. And now, so what else are you going to take that he says seriously beyond that? The dude's an idiot. So however you want, I mean, it's just. You know,
I'm just going off of his political, his economical, political kind of views that he's written about in the past and he's blogged about. You know, like I said, they want to pin this guy to like a Trump supporter. They would love.
No,
to.
But it's the narrative, right? Because
yeah, he's got to fit the window. He's got to get in this window, guys. But sir, we don't know. I don't care. Put him in the window. So you want us to fabricate the truth? I didn't say that, but since you brought it up, does that put him in the window? Does that meet the end state? You know, you don't get jobs, you don't keep your job in those kind of departments by asking those kind of questions.
So what? So
sir, are you asking me to? No.
The question is, so what's the truth? But you're not gonna get that from anybody who you see on TV right now. They're not gonna. There's a narrative that they will all pursue, and
gotta fit it, man. Gotta try to get them in the box.
Right, and if it doesn't conform with the truth,
then they'll just drop the story.
Then so be it. Then so be it. I want to tell you something that will hopefully make you feel good. I called yesterday Senator Tom Cotton's office, and I'd watched him in the military housing stuff, and he asked the service chiefs, is this a responsibility of the chain of command to make sure these problems get dealt with? Everybody, yes, sir. It's a leadership function, you know, for everything we do and fail to do, right? So you got all that. He said, do I have your word that any kind of retribution you'll stamp out? Absolutely. So, I mean, the point that there's a reason that you don't see any males appearing with their spouses, or the other way around as well, females appealing with their spouse. You don't see uniformed service members at any of this stuff. Why? Because they're not sure that it's okay to, like, stand up to your family at home. Okay? So that's true. So I called Senator Cotton's office and I said, hey, you know, this thing isn't going the way you're planned. And could I talk to the military liaison? So I talked to somebody answering phones. And guess what, Mike? I got a phone call back.
I got a phone call back this morning.
And she said,
wow.
Yeah, she said, hey, Mac, I just wanted to call you back. And I'd love to meet the women that you're talking about because I've met some really savvy women that are dealing with this issue, and they're dealing with every part of it. They're dealing with getting people to safe housing, and right, short term, right, putting in the checks and balances and the contracts, and on the active duty side to go inspect homes to do air quality checks. So when Mike Musselman and his new bride come to this house, and I hand them the keys and say, "Here you go. Here's the air quality test, and we've inspected everything that's been repaired in this house, and it is according to code. And we have a bonded contractor that signed off on it. So you can, these are the test results. You can feel safe here." So those kind of stuff get put into place that financially, that anybody who's been out money because of this shit gets taken care of. And then physically, anybody who's harmed forever, by lead paint or by mold, is taken care of forever. They get all that. So she was awesome. Sent me, give me your email. And so I kind of connected her with one woman's at Camp Lejeune and the other one's at Joint Base Lewis McChord up in Washington. And she sent back this really cool thing. She said, Mike, thanks for connecting me with them. We'll touch gloves and get after this thing. So touch gloves kind of what I thought was a really cool little line. You know, because girls wear white gloves, but touching gloves
like boxing gloves.
Boxing gloves.
She's a fighter.
Exactly.
Touch
gloves, that.
Like start the fight, right?
Exactly. And I wrote her back. I said, that was nice. That was well planned.
Well, I would have wrote her back and say, does that mean that you and me are going to face off one day?
No. No, she wants to get it on and lay the wood to these jackasses. So, but you know what I mean? We always bitch about things that don't work, and then all of a sudden, you know, it makes you feel good. Like, there are people out there that do care, and they are trying to do the right thing. And I like, if you see Tom Cotton on TV, he's a former United States Army officer, 101st Airborne guy, Iraq and Afghanistan guy, Bronze Star guy. And he's, to me, he's not afraid of the truth. And that's why I called his office, and so, very cool. So I leave you on that. So anyway, so what's next? You're going to go back out to the garage and do some more cabinet work or what?
No, I'm going to go to lunch. And then
where?
My fence, I don't know yet. Probably over at Christina's. I'm just going to have a salad, a soup. And then when I get back, hopefully the fence is here so I can, because I got to install that. So that's machinery stuff. I got to measure six times, drill once.
That is true.
Because if I screw this up, man, I'm like, oh, shit. You know, I don't want to think about, if I screw this up, the next step is just go buy a new table saw.
Oh.
So now I'm like, yeah, now this is turning into more of a headache than anything else. But light at the end of the tunnel is somewhere down there. I can't see it yet, but I can know, I can feel the rush of air because the pressure of the train coming down the tunnel is pushing the air towards me. Now, there's enough room to stand out of the train's way, so we'll see. But yeah, I'm excited. And then, so I'll be seeing you next week.
Monday, what do you mean next week?
That's what I mean. Next week.
Yeah. No, it's gonna be fun. Gonna be fun. I'm excited.
Have you gotten an itinerary yet?
I have not. I got a phone call from the chief of staff here. Maybe while we were on the show. And
yeah,
you got yours though, right?
Buddy, there. No, Donnie just sent me a text. Did you get an itinerary? I said no. What the, did Matt get one? I said I don't think so.
No.
So he said, okay, I'll talk to he was going to talk to his guys. No, American Airlines, because I'm an elite member with them. They sent me a thing with them and said, hey, just so you know, you got a flight catch this.
Oh, that's how you knew. Because I said, well, Mike must have got his because he told me that he was flying on Sunday, but I haven't.
No, American, because when you're an elite club status member and with American Airlines, like, you know, World Traveler, Gold Trotter, myself.
Stop.
They send you that information.
Can you take...
Sir, would you like to be picked up at the... No. I'll walk in like the normal folks.
I need to travel with you. Can you take me in that place? Can I be your guest, or do they fingerprint me? Sorry, you're not on the list.
What? Yeah, you have to be on the list. You know what's funny is traveling with the wife one time, they didn't let her in. And she's looking at me like,
well,
you're not going to go in there by yourself, are you? And I'm like,
are you kidding me? Do you know what's
but
in here?
They're serving. Yeah, they have omelets in here. I'll bring you one.
Free food. It's like,
okay, is that okay? Bring her one. And they're like, sir, you can't leave with food outside of the club area. I'm like,
sorry, honey.
Hey, I'll be right back, though. I'm going to go. No, I didn't do that. And then when we were flying back we went to Tahiti. They were like, sir, we've upgraded you to first class. And I'm like, wonderful. So I look over and I'm like, what about
Henrietta?
No, sir, she's not an elite member. She's not a 1K elite. And I'm like, oh. So she's looking at me and I said, I gave her the seat. you know.
Oh, what a man. How hard
was
that?
Suck, man.
That was hard, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then, you know, because they stop her. Excuse me, ma'am, you're not supposed to be up here. This is first class.
Yes, don't you know?
Coach and steerage is down below. You know, so go
with the rest of the with the rest of the Irish.
Yeah. So
how did she get up here?
She was so pissed, man. Oh no! Okay, I gotta go. I just hit restart. I'll talk to you later.
What?
I just hit restart on the computer. I will talk to you later.
Bye. There you have it. An abrupt ending to a show that like. Ups and downs on this day, right? The ups and downs of this day. Yeah. So, anyway, that'll do it here on a Friday. Don't touch that dial. We'll talk about it. And keep the people in Christ Church in your prayers like we always do. And if you haven't had a discussion with the people that you love, about keeping your eyes open and what to do when people start shooting, and what to do is not go to the ground, run, right? Run as fast as you can. If they can hit you on the move, then so be it. But do not lay down. Okay, run. And you got to teach them that. Thanks for listening all week. I would tell you that get in touch with your congressman. Tell them that you're paying attention, and the way they vote and what they do on the military housing thing is going to sway your vote. Yeah, essentially threaten them. And that if they don't do the right thing and then stipulate the four things in this issue, getting people to safety, two, putting the right checks and balances in place that this doesn't happen again, three, making whole people that have been hurt financially, and four, taking care of the people that have been physically injured and will deal with those injuries for the rest of their lives. They deserve TRICARE for life, or some, not the, they don't deserve the VA. Yeah, TRICARE for life, so they can go see their own provider. Yeah, coming to you on Monday from Quantico. Yeah, post-traumatic winning. Boom. No, it'll be, I'm excited to do it. A little bit different. Better, I dare say. And get a chance to see both my sons, Johnny Boy and Pashik. Yeah, I forgot to tell my son that I was coming, my oldest. So he saw some advertisement for it. And yesterday, he sends me a message, right? Really, bro? Is this how I gotta find out shit? First to go, last to know. Alright. Have a great weekend. The chef, if you love Italian food, you like lasagna, you're gonna hear a bunch about it today, so. Have a great weekend. Remember to keep those people in your thoughts and prayers. And if you know crazy people, don't be afraid to call the cops, man. And don't be afraid to buy a gun either. Don't be afraid to buy a gun for your wife. Don't be afraid to buy her reduced load ammunition and make her a good shot. On a Friday, All Marine Radio. Over and...